Now, we're continuing in our series, in the penultimate message of the series, understanding mercy, showing mercy to others. For the past 5 weeks, we have actually focused essentially on God's mercy to us. But this week, what we're wanting to do is now turn and change direction, and we're going to focus on mercy or showing mercy to others. Jesus in the Beatitudes, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with the Beatitudes, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7 said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." So Jesus is saying, if you want to receive mercy, then you have to give mercy to other people. So what is mercy? You know, I know we've talked about what mercy is, but here's another definition. Mercy is love in action. The original thing that we spoke about was mercy is undeserved forgiveness and unearned kindness. Yes, it is that. But essentially, what are those two things saying? It is saying mercy is love in action. Mercy is not just talk and emotion and feelings. And it's certainly a whole lot more than mere pity. Mercy is showing compassion to other people. Now, the word compassion is a very descriptive word. It's considered today to be an adjective which is to describe a particular person. But originally, the word compassionate wasn't an adjective, it was a verb. And if you're anything in an English world, you'll know that a verb is the doing word. It's an action word. Here's the meaning of compassionate. To be compassionate is to enter into someone else's pain, to enter into their suffering, not just for the purpose of feeling sorry for them, but to relieve them of that pain and to help lift them out of that pain. Let me give you an example of the difference between pity and compassion. Pity would say, did you hear about that woman down the street? She's a single mom, and she's been in hospital for the last 3 weeks. Poor girl. She never gets a break, you know. That's pity. Compassion would say, did you hear about the single mom down the street? She's been in hospital for 3 weeks. Poor girl. She never gets a break. Maybe we need to find out how we can help her. What does she need? Maybe we can take care of her kids. Does her family need some food? What can we do to relieve and lift her out of her pain? That's the difference between mere pity and compassion. Mercy is compassionate. It is love in action. It's not afraid to get its hands dirty and to step into the brokenness of other people's lives. It's what Jesus did when he took on flesh and became a man. He stepped into our condition. He stepped into our brokenness to lift us out of the condition that we were in. And now Jesus says to us, blessed are the merciful, the ones who show compassion, and the ones who care to lift others out of their pain and suffering. They are the ones, he says, who will receive mercy themselves. Now, I want to be very careful at this point. I don't want you to think that I'm talking in any way about a works-based salvation, because I'm certainly not. That somehow we can earn God's favor and grace, because we know we can't. God's grace and mercy that is extended towards us is completely unearned. We cannot do anything to earn His grace or His mercy. It is a favor that He extends toward us. We are saved, the Bible tells us, by grace not by our works. But what God is saying is, now that you have received my grace and belong to my family, this is how I want you to live. Be merciful so that you can continue to receive mercy from me. And mercy comes in and it flows out like a river from your life. Well, it ought to. The merciful are the ones who will continue to receive God's mercy. If we refuse to show mercy and kindness and compassion to other people, then I believe we are cutting ourselves off from the flow of God's compassion toward us when we're in pain. So, what does mercy look like? Jesus gives us a clear picture of it. When he healed the leper in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. Let's see what we can learn about compassion. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I'm willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Now, leprosy is not common today. I remember as a child growing up, my parents were very involved in what was known as the leprosy mission. And as a child, I can still remember going out there and seeing the horrible disfiguration on these desperate people. But it's not common today. But in Jesus' day, leprosy was very prevalent and it was widespread. And there was no preventive or prevention or cure for leprosy in Jesus' day. So leprosy, in essence, was a terminal disease. First it killed the soul, and then it killed the body. It killed the soul because a leper was considered to be an outcast. He could not be touched by anybody, including his family, or they would immediately be considered unclean. Leprosy was considered in Jesus' day to be an outward sign of an inward failure in that person's life. A person who had leprosy was deemed by other people to have been judged by God. When they saw somebody with leprosy, that the assumption was that that person had done something to bring that upon themselves. So leprosy wasn't just an outward problem, it was also an inward problem. In the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, where the law is given, it tells us that lepers were not sent to doctors. They were sent to priests. They were not called unhealthy. They were called unclean. I'm glad that hasn't happened to me. With all the terrible infections that I have had, at least the doctors were decent enough to say, "You're unhealthy, not you're unclean." But in those days, they weren't called unhealthy, they were called unclean, which sounds more like a verdict than a diagnosis. But here's what the Bible says about how lepers were to act. Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 45. "The person who has such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes. His hair be unkempt. Cover the lower part of his face and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.'" Now this is the condition that this man is living in when he comes to Jesus. That to protect the community from himself, wherever he goes in public, he must shout out, "Unclean! Unclean!" In other words, he's saying, look at me. I'm a failure. There's something wrong with me. Stay away from me. That's what this man must do according to the law. Unclean is his confession that there's something that is desperately broken in his life. So you can imagine the humiliation and the torment physically, because leprosy eats away at the flesh and destroys the nervous system. It's a horribly disfiguring disease. And you can imagine what kind of confusion he must have been in. What did I do to deserve this? Why is this happening to me? Lepers could be whipped, or they could be stoned if they dared come into the public. They were not allowed to enter the town openly, and they had to live alone, not even allowed to live with their families. So, a leper, in essence, was a dead man walking. Leprosy was a living death sentence, a complete banishment from the presence of God and God's people, banished from his friends, banished even from worship. I want you to try and just get how desperate this poor man is. What that meant to him was that his worship was unacceptable to God. The only one who could possibly help him, God himself, he feels now has rejected him as well as all the other people. Because he's not allowed to come into the place of worship. But this man comes to Jesus in a public place. Mark tells us that day there was a huge crowd that was following Jesus. So you can imagine, this guy comes walking into the crowd shouting, unclean, unclean. And everybody is running for cover, because nobody wants to be touched by him. But he comes straight up to Jesus. He falls on his knees and he says in Mark chapter 1 and verse 40, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you're willing, you can help me. If you're willing, you can change my life. I want you to notice, he didn't say if you are able, because he knew very well that Jesus was able. He says, Jesus, if you are willing, I know you can help me. My question to you, Jesus, is this. What are you willing to do? Are you willing to help me, or are you just going to leave me the way I am? There are people all around us, just like that leper. People all around us who are relegated to the outskirts of society. They are the people who we could call the untouchables. The people who just don't measure up to the standard that we all expect. And just like that leper, I can hear his voice ringing through the voices of these people today. And he's saying, are you willing? If you're willing, you can restore my dignity. You can help me find life again. If you're willing, you can bring peace to my life. You can relieve my hunger. If you're willing, you can relieve my loneliness, and you can show me love and compassion and hope and mercy. If you are willing, you can show me what Jesus is like. Are you willing? It's a question I'm asking you today. It's a question I've had to ask myself. Are you willing? Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Then in verse 41, it says, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I'm willing, he said, be clean. Jesus did the unthinkable. He touched a leper. And when he touched the leper, one of two things could happen. Either the man was going to be healed, or Jesus would immediately become unclean himself. Because according to the law, if you touched the leper, you became unclean. So there are only two options here. And of course we know, the man was healed. You know, the thing about that poor man, I wonder how long it had been since anyone had touched him. How long has it been since anyone had actually looked him in the eye, given him a hug or a pat on the back, or wiped away a tear from his eye? How long had it been since anyone had even said something kind to him? What he heard mostly were the curses of people. Futsak, yo, failed them. Telling him to get out the way. Or he would just, at best, have experienced the silence of people when they saw him turn their face and head off in a different direction, walking away from him. The only friends this man had were helpless, hopeless people like himself. Again, verse 41. Filled with compassion and entering into his pain, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. He didn't stand there saying, oh, shame, man. Poor guy. He did something about it. He reached out towards him and he said, I'm willing. Be clean. Now, I want you to notice something here. Jesus touched the man before he spoke to him. It's not enough to just preach to people. We must reach out and we must touch them first. We have to show them the love of Jesus before we start talking about the love of Jesus. Because they've heard many times about the love of Jesus. They just haven't seen it yet. And Jesus touched this man before he said a word to him. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Sometimes I think the body of Christ, the body of Christ, has lost its hands and its feet, and all we are is a big mouth. People don't want to hear it. They want to see it. They want to know it's true. They want to know, are you willing to reach out and touch me? What greater sign of compassion could Jesus have shown to this leper than to simply reach out and touch him? To do the unthinkable. To reach into his pain, his condition, and in a sense, join him in his suffering and touch him. To put himself at risk. To risk his reputation by touching an unclean person. Jesus touched the man. And then he spoke to him. And he said, I'm willing. Be clean. And years of sickness were healed in an instant. Years of loneliness were touched away by a loving touch. And this ruin of a man is instantly restored in his body and his soul. This broken, helpless, hopeless, desperate man could finally go home and join his family. and put his arms around his loved ones. I want to look at a couple of ironies that are in this story. The first one is this, because it's quite significant. In verse 44, Jesus says this to the leper, "Go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." You know, it's easy when we read this passage to kind of just skip over this part because the exciting part is finished. You know, the guy got healed. Whoa! But it's there for a reason. So what does it mean? Well, Leviticus 14, verses 13 and 14. After healing, this was supposed to happen. Leviticus 14. The priest is to slaughter the lamb, which incidentally the leper had to bring, in the holy place where the sin offering and the burnt offering are slaughtered. The priest is to take some of the blood of the guilt offering and put it on the lobe of his right ear and of the one to be cleansed, that's the leper, and on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. There's something right about this. What is that all about? The blood on the ear and the thumb and the toe. Well, Leviticus 14 tells us of the regulation for the cleansing of a leper. Now look at this. Leviticus 8, and verses 23 to 24, tells us of the regulation for the ordaining of a priest. Here's what it says. Moses slaughtered the ram and took some of the blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Moses also brought Aaron's sons forward and put some of the blood on the lobes of their right ears and the thumbs of their right hands and on the big toes of their right foot. Here's the point. The blood that cleanses the priest is the blood that cleanses the leper. The sacrifice that makes the priest a holy man and acceptable to God is the same sacrifice that makes the leper acceptable to God. What it means is that there is no one so unclean as to be beyond cleansing. And there is nobody so righteous and so holy in their own mind as to be above cleansing. So, whether you're a priest or a leper, it's the same sacrifice for all of us. We all need a Savior. And that's the challenge of the story. Because I have to think, who are the untouchables in my world? And am I willing to reach out and to show them the love of Jesus? To love them in the name of Jesus? Because I'll tell you something, Jesus is still willing. Jesus touches and cleanses broken people. But you know what? He does it through us. He does it through His church. That's why we are called the body of Christ. He touches people through His people. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We carry the presence of Jesus into the pain and turmoil of others' suffering. And we help to lift them out of it. Jesus still touches the world, but He touches the world through us. So who are the lepers today? Who are the ones who are physically distressed because of some sinful choices they may have made? Who are the people that society, our society, declares unclean or unworthy? The street people, the hungry, the destitute, the drunks, the derelicts, the drug addicts. Who are the people, as far as we're concerned, who must live outside of the camp and who bear in their bodies the signs of inward failure, a bad decision, a failed moral life, or whatever, and they bear the markings of what has happened to them in many cases. And sometimes they don't know why. that has happened to them. But they're destitute. And we look at them kind of askance and go, I wonder what's going on in that person's life for that to have happened to them. You know what? They won't come to church because they think they're not welcome here. They think they don't belong here. They're not worthy. Listen, listen carefully. They won't come on their own. We must go and get them. That's what Jesus told us to do. To bring them into the family of God. To reach out and touch them. To enter into their suffering. To lift them out of it. To bring them to wholeness and purpose. Bring them to the love of God our Father. Jesus was compassionate. And he entered the man's pain. And the lepers today are asking the same question. Are you willing to help me? Or are you willing to just leave me as I am and turn and look the other way? So here's the question. What am I willing to do? Jesus touched sinners like these people. What am I willing to do? And I stand before you this morning and I have to confess to you that I have sometimes failed in this very area myself. I have to do something about this. Something has to change in me. I can't come to the Word of God and then walk away from it unchanged. If God is speaking to us and telling us to do something, and if He don't do it, how can we expect Him to tell us anything else if we don't do what He has already told us to do? People are suffering and hurting, in need of the love of Jesus. Are you willing? How can I be like Jesus if I'm not willing? The hands and the feet have been cut off, and all we are is a big mouth. We've got to change something. There's another irony in this story. Remember, according to the law, the leper had to live outside the camp and he wasn't allowed in public. Look again at verse 45. It's on your outline. It says, the leper went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter the town openly, but stayed outside in the lonely places. That strikes me as being rather ironic. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Here's the point. As we engage and minister to lepers in our world, they're going to go out and they're going to tell other people about it. And as they draw closer to us, don't be surprised if other people begin to stare clear of you and begin to withdraw from you. There's a price. There's a cost to mercy. It could cost you your comfort. Or it could cost you your reputation. People might disagree with what you're doing and who you are doing it for. Because compassion touches people before it talks to them. Compassion reaches out with the love of Jesus. It doesn't matter who they are and how they live. Compassion reaches out with the love of Jesus to help people who have needs. See, Jesus doesn't wait for us to clean up our lives before He helps us. He just helps us. Change takes place afterwards, of course. The work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life is what brings that change. Jesus reaches out and He touches people. Then I want you to consider this. Mercy is the key to answered prayer. Where do you need mercy? Undeserved forgiveness and unearned kindness in your life. Is there a place in your life You've been praying for God's mercy and so far nothing has happened. Why, you're saying, is God not acting on my behalf? Whether it's a personal need or we as a nation, a need for our nation. Why hasn't God stepped in? Now there was in the Old Testament, when there was a time in the Old Testament when God's people were fasting and they were praying for God's hand of blessing to be upon them. And nothing happened. Things were getting worse. And they became confused and they were wondering why God wasn't answering their prayer. So God answered them. And he spoke through the prophet Isaiah. Let me read to you what he said. Isaiah 58. Is this the kind of fast I've chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not the kind of fasting I have chosen to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. And you will cry for help, and he will say, here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with a pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will shine, will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, and he will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins, and they will rise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called repairer of the broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you are having your prayers unanswered, then you need to stop and ask yourself, am I putting myself in the position to have my prayer answered? And the way you put yourself in the position to receive mercy is to give mercy. Because Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. The way we serve God is simply by serving other people. Doing the things that Jesus actually asked us to do. What would happen in Pretoria if each and every one of us, each and every believer, began to reach out in mercy to those around us? The best way to show mercy is to simply reach out to someone else. Reach out to people who are in need, whatever that need may be. We could have our prayers answered. And of course, we could receive more mercy from God. I suggest we take Jesus at his word. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. I'm saying, okay, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to give it a try. I'll be merciful. Now show me what you've got, Lord. Because I could certainly use some mercy today. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you have given us your word. That when we are merciful, we will receive mercy. And Lord Jesus, thank you that you've come and that you've shown us what it looks like to be merciful. To not just say things, but to do things. to reach out and touch people. Yes, and even to take risks. Lord, you said you came to seek and to save the lost. Lord, would you seek and save them through us? Lord, would you look through our eyes and then tell us what you see? Would you listen through our ears and then tell us what you're hearing? Would you touch people through our hands and speak to people through our lips? Would you love people through our lives? Lord, would you use us to bless others with your mercy? And we pray this in your precious name. Amen.